especially when the sunspots are doing their thing, as they're not doing their thing right now. As you know, for people who don't know, shortwave broadcasting is possible because there's a layer in the upper atmosphere called the ionosphere, and it refracts signals back down to Earth. But the reason it refracts signals is because of these charged particles. And during the 11-year cycle of the sun, you get a bottoming out in the middle of the 11-year cycle where there is very little solar activity, and so it doesn't charge the particles and it doesn't reflect back as it should. So we're in the trough right now, and somewhere down the line we'll start getting good refractive signals again. But it's very difficult to reach the West Coast even in ideal conditions from where you are. Do you have that problem when you're trying to reach the West Coast of North America?
Oh, yeah, I've noticed that myself. Since I come from California, and I come home every couple of years and try and listen to Radio Sweden, and it's difficult. We're very aware that it's a hard problem, but there's not a whole lot we can do about it.
Well, so many international broadcasters have worked out relays, either building their own or using the facilities of another broadcaster, such as Radio Deutsche Welle, using the facilities of the BBC on Antigua. Have you thought of doing anything like that?
We thought about it. The problem is, one, we can't afford to build a station, and we don't have the money even to rent time on a station. The only possibility for us would be some kind of an exchange and let somebody use our transmitter in return. But under Swedish law, we're not allowed to let anybody else use our transmitters, so we're caught in a basic bind. The only thing we have been thinking of, seriously, is if we could get the funds from the government, we might try and put something out over the National Public Radio satellite to reach NPR local stations.
Very interesting. Hold on, please. We're on the phone with George Wood, host of a DX program on Radio Sweden. I'm Ray Brain. This is Talk Radio 77, WABC. What do you estimate the audience to Radio Sweden to be? Anybody know?
No idea whatsoever. I think, in fact, if you ask most of your guests in the studio there, they'd all say the same thing. The BBC does audience research, and the VOA does now as well, but we really don't know how many people are out there. All we know is how many letters we get.
Do you think that the rather inexpensive, compact shortwave radios that now also have direct frequency readout on them, is that helping the shortwave broadcaster?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, when people can get a hold of easier-to-use shortwave receivers at a cheaper price, they're more likely to listen to shortwave. And we think that's helping us a lot in many parts of the world, but not particularly in North America, because what we're afraid of is that in North America, you have access to so much media, especially television and now satellite TV and cable channels, that we're afraid that shortwave listening in North America is declining despite the new receivers.
Well, that's why we have a program such as we're having here this morning, hoping that we can drum up some interest, because I don't have to tell you, George, that when you listen to the shortwave bands, and if you really listen with an intent of learning something, in other words, for content, rather than just listening for a long-distance station, that you're going to be a better informed person.
Exactly. That's why I got into shortwave, I think, in the first place. And a lot of us over here, we listen to the BBC and other stations all the time just to keep ourselves informed about what's going on.
The Voice of America has just recently started to broadcast to Europe. Is that being received with a jaundiced eye, or is that going to be a success? What do you think?
Well, the thing is, it's not everybody who has access to it, because those programs are primarily going out over cable systems, and most of them are in Germany, and there are a few private radio stations, I think, in countries like Italy and France. But for most of us here in Europe, we don't have access to that VOA service yet, so it's hard to say. I don't think anybody would mind being able to have access to it. It's nice to have 24 hours a day of American rock music and whatever other features they're offering.
I might mention I enjoy listening to George here in northern Minnesota in the Duluth area on 15345 at about 9 o'clock in the morning Central Time.
George, that's Dr. Bruce Elving, a publisher of the FM Atlas in Adolph, Minnesota.
Hello. I'm glad you can hear us. That sounds very nice. We'd like to reach Minnesota since there's so many people of Scandinavian descent there.
That's right. I'm half Swedish, and I enjoy listening to the programming from Svenska.
Your power is what, 500,000 watts from Sweden?
Yeah, we have three 500,000-watt transmitters. We also have a new medium-wave AM broadcast band transmitter, which is 600,000 watts. And I know Richard Wood is listening, and he's president of the International Radio Club of America, which I, by the way, Richard, I've been meaning to congratulate you on getting elected to that position.
All right, all of you, hold on. We'll be right back. We're talking about shortwave and medium-wave and FM, and I guess, do we hear from long-wave? I guess long-wave is out here this morning. DX special here this morning, and we have George Wood on the phone, and then we have our regular standing by, so stay right with us. This is Talk Radio. I'm Ray Brain. Wood, he's on the phone from Stockholm, Sweden. He's the host of the DX program, heard on Radio Sweden. When is your program heard, George?
It's on Tuesdays, and we broadcast to North America at 2,300 hours GMT, at 1,400 hours GMT, and 0,400 hours GMT. And as I say, it's every Tuesday. Some of those, the 0,400 hours is actually Wednesday's GMT, but it's still Tuesday local time in North America.
Right. And those frequencies are what? Why don't we give out a couple of frequencies? Do you have them handy?
Well, I think the list I have is the up-to-date list. Maybe some of your listeners who have access to frequency schedules may correct me. But as far as I know, at 23 hours, we're beaming to North America on two frequencies, 6045, which is in the 49-meter band, and 9695, which is in the 31-meter band.
Mm-hmm.
At 1,400 hours... as was pointed out, we're broadcasting to basically to the Midwest on 15345, and also we've got a beam to the West Coast, which is on 9695. And then at 0400 hours, we're also using 9695 kilohertz to the West Coast.
Okay, and so you have tandem frequencies at 1400 hours.
That's right, yeah. We have three transmitters on shortwave, actually, but we tend to only use two at a time.
So that's 15345 and 9695 at 1,400 hours.
Right.
Yeah, well, I might catch that in the morning.
And we're also, as I said, we're being relayed. The DX program, Sweden Holland DXers, is part of the Radio Earth package on Sundays, which is currently coming out on KCBI in Dallas.
Oh, yes. That's another domestic shortwave station that has taken to the air. All right, George, why don't you say hello to Dr. Richard Wood? He's listening in Hilo.
Hi, Richard. I've been meaning to congratulate you for a long time on being elected president of the International Radio Club of America.
Thank you, George. There was no opposition in the election, but thank you for congratulations. I have a suggestion. I know perhaps you're not allowed to cooperate with non-Nordic stations, but reception of Radio Norway here is much superior to reception of Radio Sweden. Could you not establish a relay over Radio Norway, an exchange package with Radio Norway?
I think what might make more sense is for us to take a look at what frequencies they're using and perhaps copy their band usage, because their transmitter site can't be that much more superior to ours, I would think. They're not located that far apart.
They come in amazingly well.
Yes, it's always been very difficult for some reason, on the West Coast at least, to hear Radio Sweden.
But Richard, I've been meaning to ask you, can you hear our medium wave station on 1179 kilohertz?
No,
because
and
we've
I
got hear reliable
Norway.
Reports from Singapore.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't, but I hear Norway on medium wave. Norway packs a punch, and it is heard here. I hear them from Tweedse on 1314, and it's one of the easier European stations, whereas I've never heard a trace on 1179, and I always try it every time I hear Norway.
Well, George Wood, I want to thank you very much for participating this morning, and say hello to Claude Stevenson when you come back to California sometime. Say hello.
Okay, I'll do that. Thanks a lot, Ray.
Thank you. All right, goodbye.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's see now. Let's take another call. And where do we go? What call do we have? A listener. Okay, let's say hello here to Don. Good morning, Don.
Good morning, Ray Breen.
You're on with the rest of the gang here.
How are you? And welcome to Stu and Grant Manning and the rest of the gang up there. How are you folks doing?
Okay, what's on your mind?
Well, I want to thank everybody, and I wonder if I can plug my club, Bray.
You have a club?
Yes, sir. SCADs, S-C-A-D-S.
Oh, yes, of course.
Southern California Area DXers.
This is Don Schmidt, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Don.
We're having a meeting in February 15th in 1986.
Well, I'm not sure that everybody can attend your meeting, but anyway.
Well, don't...
You put out a monthly bulletin as well, is that right?
One three times a year, sir.
Oh, three times a year.
Yes, you've been invited. You've spoken in front of our group.
That's right.
I met you over at Mercury Savings in Long Beach when we had our meetings there. Can I say hello to Stu and the rest of the gang? How are they?
They're here.
Very good. I don't hear them on this end, I guess.
They haven't said anything.
Oh, Stu, are you going to say anything?
Oh, okay, good evening.
Grant, how are you?
How you doing, Don?
Very good. I'm putting all this down on tape for everybody. Anyway, we're going to have a meeting.
Well, we can't plug meetings. No,
all right,
no plugging.
Fine. Thank you very much, and really enjoying the show.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. Let's take another call here. What do we have? We have Jay from New York. Good morning, Jay. You're on Talk Radio.
Yeah, hi. This is Jay Smilkstein. And I'm interested in the breakdown of the clear channels.
Okay.
It seems like a bad idea because I'm, like, out of New York a bit, like 30 miles.
And it's affecting you?
Yeah.
Let's talk with Paul Swearingen on this. Paul, how do you feel about that?
Well, I think it's necessary to get more stations on the air to give better community coverage, but I agree with Jay that the clear channels are disappearing, and as I said previously, you can't hear stations across the nation anymore. It's the station that's easiest to get here now is WHAS in Louisville, Kentucky, on the West Coast. And on the East Coast, maybe KFI Los Angeles gets through. Other than that, it's almost closed up.
It used to get through.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems that at night there's like, if you try to use a tube-type high-fidelity radio that you built, you hear voices in the background.
In other words, there's interference.
Co-channel and adjacent channel.
Mm-hmm.
You can't use it as high fidelity anymore.
Oh, I see what you're saying, yeah.
I guess in the city it's good, but when you get into a semi-rural area...
Yes.
You get...
Well, this is a policy of the FCC. They felt that there were many areas of the country still not being served because of the fact that there were so many clear channels that were being protected, and they felt that a 750-mile radius was enough. And that's the way it's been. All right. Thank you very much, Jay.
Thank you.
All right. Goodbye. When we come back, we'll be talking with Larry Miller of Miller Publishing, publishers of the Shortwave Guide. So stay with us.
A very charming engineer on the show today, ladies and gentlemen.
Lady Fenley, thank you very much.
He's in here as a feature-length presentation of Radio Native Long.
Produced by Jerry.
And Dodie
Collins.
I'm Ray Brain. This is Talk Radio 77, WABC. All right, let's go by telephone now to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and Mr. Larry Miller. Larry Miller of Miller Publishing, publishers of the Shortwave Guide. Larry, good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
So I'm looking at the Shortwave Guide right now, the August issue, and I see an antenna farm there. What antenna system is this from what broadcaster?
On the August issue, the cover is, that is HCJB in Quito, Ecuador.
I've never seen such an antenna farm in my life.
Is that a nice-looking picture?
I wonder how many antennas they have there.
They sure have enough, don't they?
Yeah, they sure do. Did you happen to hear our talk with John Beck of HCJB?
Yes, I did.
In the August issue of your Shortwave Guide, you have an interview with John Beck.
DXing with God.
Well, what is your opinion of HCJB, the Pioneer Missionary Broadcast Station?
Well, I think I have to agree with Dr. Richard Wood. It's just it. I mean, this is the station that knows how to do it. It really comes in tops in terms. Not just the missionary stations, but in terms of just about all stations in the shortwave bands.
Yeah, they've really written the book.
Exactly.
Now, for the people who are listening in right now who don't know anything about shortwave, what would you advise them to do, Larry?
Well, It's funny, this came up last time, and I made a really weak attempt at humor and said, buy our magazine. I was embarrassed about it then, and I am now, too. I'd advise them, if they're doing it, really just to start listening. It's not that difficult.
But I get letters saying, I can't find a shortwave radio. Where do I find a shortwave radio?
Boy, I mean, there. If you've got a Radio Shack in your store, in your town, I mean, you can get them there. They're just available just about anywhere now.
Camera shops.
Department stores. I mean, the clerks may not know exactly what's going on, but you can find them very easily, really, now.
Now, one of the things that I would say, and maybe you people will disagree with me, but since it's available and it doesn't cost that much more, get a radio that has a frequency readout, a frequency display on it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That way, you can actually make up your own little schedule. In other words, you don't have to buy the books, and I'm not putting you down with your magazine, of course, but you have a great many listings as to when stations are on the air, yes, but you have a lot more than that in the magazine.
Mm-hmm.
But to get started, so that you won't have to go to the radio and TV handbook and not understand it and get disinterested, just make your own little guide as to when the station is on the air, when, what time you heard it, what the frequency was, et cetera, et cetera. And that's the way it's usually done. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's it. Digital readout, the digital display on shortwave receivers really has just opened it wide open. It's so easy now to tune in a frequency and hear good, decent quality reception.
So you make a little note, at 6 p.m. I heard the BBC on 9510.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you can go back at approximately that time and you know it's always going to be there.
Right, keep your own personal logbook.
That's right. How long has your magazine been in business?
This is our second year publishing the magazine.
Well, it would seem to me then that since it's a rather new publication, you believe that there is an ascendancy going on when it comes to shortwave interest and listenership. Is that right?
I have to believe so. I've devoted literally my whole life to this. This is my full-time job, publishing this magazine. So I've invested heavily in the future of shortwave.
Why do you believe that it's finally coming to North America?
I think that there's, maybe trend's a bad word, but I think people are starting to get more internationally oriented. Mm-hmm. That and the technology now that provides things like digital readout that makes shortwave so easy now. It just has to be, more people have to be getting involved now.
Every once in a while, a caller will call in and say, I just heard on the BBC.
No, isn't that wild?
It sure is. And, you know, I asked her once, why are you listening to the BBC? And she said, because you told me to.
Right, right.
Great. Mm-hmm.
But it does have a future. And what do you see in the future as far as the shortwave medium? Do you see any improvements?
I think that there's some, as it's about the same time this year, at the same time last year, we have some very exciting plans right now for domestic shortwave stations in the United States, ranging from more religious stations to Dixon Norman's plan.
We're going to be talking with Dixon Norman in about an hour.
Dixon, if Dixon Norman's plans come together, that's going to be the greatest thing for shortwave in decades.
That's the president, of course, of NDXE Global Radio in Opelika, Alabama. And he believes that the time has come for a true commercial shortwave station, and he's ready to go.
Yes, indeed.
Well, I appreciate your taking the time to talk with us, Larry, and good luck on the publication. It's a good one.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Good night.
Larry Miller of Miller Publishing, publisher of the Shortwave Guide. So that's Quito, Ecuador. Did you see the antenna farm? I've never seen so many antennas in my life.
Pretty impressive.
It sure is. And you know, when you put up a shortwave antenna, you use the towers as only supports, because in between the towers, you have to put your curtain antennas.
The elements, right.
The elements.
Something else, too, that's clear air.
It sure is, isn't it? How high is Quito? What is it, about 10,000 feet?
Yeah, it's up in the air, isn't it?
Mm.
It is high.
Okay, let's take a call. And we have a call here from Jack. Good morning, Jack. You're on Talk Radio.
Good morning.
We have Dr. Richard Wood listening in Hilo, Hawaii, Dr. Bruce Elving in Minnesota, and four people here in the studio.
Okay, I'm interested in just starting out in shortwave listening, and the problem I have is exactly what to get, where to buy it, and probably for about $100 or so.
All right. Grant Manning might be the man. He runs Radio West and Earth Stations West in Escondido, California. He's not the only one who deals in that. They put out regular catalogs of equipment that they have in the store. Hilfer Associates in New Jersey, I believe. They've been in the business for a long time, and there are others around. But go ahead, Grant. It's your baby.
Well, the first thing, Jack, could be to investigate the local garages around and see if you couldn't turn up something used or something that someone isn't using before you invest any money at all, just to see if you like it.
If I may say, I've had one small radio, sound design, I believe, with two bands on. I couldn't pick hardly anything up with that. And then I bought this little, like you say, two packs of cards, little Radio Shack, nine band, and I could get AM and FM fine, and that was about it.
A lot of the, shall we say, marginal radios can be improved a lot with the addition of a small wire antenna, say 30 to 50 feet of wire, either put up on the roof or in some way made to be an antenna.
You know what I do? I take about 20 feet of, just plain connecting wire, insulated connecting wire, and put two alligator clips,
right.
On each end.
We sell such a thing. Just for traveling.
That's great. And whenever I travel, I slip everything in my suitcase, including the little roll of wire, with the two alligator clips. And these are things you don't have to solder. You can go and get the alligator clips that have the screw in it,
mm-hmm.
and you attach it to both ends of the wire. One you put to the antenna of your radio, and then if you're in a hotel room with all the steel in the building and everything, you attach it to, say, the window frame, the metal window frame, and it works well.
Right. Yeah, a lot of things can be made to use as an antenna, Jack, and that'll help the radios that you've run into so far. Once you get something that you can play around with a bit and listen and find out what's on shortwave, you'll probably end up with a communications receiver. I think all of us here have gone through various phases where we started with a small radio. For a long time, Radio Shack DX-150 has got many, many people into the hobby.
Listen, I still have one that still operates, and it's a 1947 National 173. How about that?
Yeah, I know what that is.
Does anyone make the equivalent of the old Zenith Transoceanic?
Not anymore. That technology has kind of gone by the wayside. Sony and Panasonic both produce models that would be the modern-day version of it.
I see. When you talk about the very small radios, isn't it true that the larger speaker will give you a better tonal quality?
Yeah, that would be true.
Mm-hmm.
Probably of all the shortwave radios in the world, Grundig is probably noted for their best audio.
I have two of them.
Yeah, they're just
For traveling, I have the Yachtboy 650, and then I have the Biggie, the 3000, I think it is.
What would be a good one, like I say, for about $100 that's, say, lunchbox size?
Lunchbox size.
You know, carry-around type.
Probably
use batteries or AC.
Probably Panasonic RF-B50, the Sony 4910.
In your catalog, you have a lot of these listed, of course.
ICF
with pictures of them.
7600A, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Glad to send you a catalog.
Yeah, how would I get the catalog?
Well, he's in Escondido, California. And
we're
that's
in
all
the phone book, yeah. That's all
book.
We can do.
Radio West in Escondido, California.
Oh, okay, thank you.
All right, fine, thank you. And my guests are Stuart McKenzie, president of the American Shortwave Listeners Club, Grant Manning, president of Radio West and Earth Stations West in Escondido, California, Paul Swearingen, club corner editor of Monitoring Times, also musings editor for the National Radio Club, David Lawrence, operations director for a new shortwave station going on the air, KVOH, shortwave of High Adventure Ministries, and on the phone, Dr. Richard Wood, president of International Radio Club of America, and Dr. Bruce Elving, publisher of the FM Atlas. This is Talk Radio 77 WABC, and I'm Ray Brain. Radio. I'm Ray Brame, and welcome to our Shortwave DX special here this morning. In the studio, Stuart McKenzie, president of American Shortwave Listeners Club. Grant Manning, president of Radio West and Earth Stations West in Escondido, California. Paul Swearingen, Club Corner editor of Monitoring Times, also Musings editor for the National Radio Club. David Lawrence, operations director of a new shortwave station going on the air in Los Angeles, KVOH Shortwave. He's with High Adventure Ministries. They also have a station complex that was bombed here not too long ago. Is it Radio Hope?
Was that Voice of Hope.
Voice of Hope in Lebanon. And on the phone, we have Dr. Richard Wood, president of International Radio Club of America in Hilo, Hawaii, and Dr. Bruce Elving, publisher of the FM Atlas in Adolph, Minnesota. And we now have on the phone someone that is legendary in his own time. He's the national president of the New Zealand Radio DX Club in Invercargill, New Zealand, Arthur Cushion. Mr. Cushion, glad to have you with us.
Good morning, Ray. Very pleased to be with you folk again this year. And
what time is it in New Zealand?
Say when?
What time is it in New Zealand?
Just gone 11 p.m. Saturday. Been a nice summer's day. It'll probably just got dark about half an hour ago. And about 20 degrees. New Zealand's very much in the news with America at the moment because we're starting to see Halley's Comet down here.
Oh, is that right?
You can even buy teaspoons with Halley's Comet on it.
Great.
It's a great promotion.
How about that? Well, what's new in the shortwave listening? You've been very much involved in this for most of your life. How did you become a shortwave listener and monitor?
Well, before I move on to that, Ray, I hope to be in Los Angeles around the end of July, early August, and see something of you then.
I hope so, and we'll have you as a guest.
Going to Montreal to the NARC convention, which is mid-July, and then going through to Hawaii and probably see something of Richard over that way for a week before heading home. I started with poor eyesight when I was about, the days of the cat's whiskers. But I've been yaxing hard at it, I suppose, for 50 years now.
That's a long time. You, of course, are an official monitor for many shortwave stations around the world. Would you tell us what an official monitor is?
Well, I have to check the... I'm not interested in program contents. I'm interested in the signal quality of the station, trying to find a frequency that is clear and give the best possible signal level in the target area in New Zealand. And that means that I monitor, for instance, VOA between 2200 and 2400 UTC and also from 1100 onwards. And those reports go to Washington every week. And that shows the primary frequencies for this area and also the secondary coverage. And I also suggest that the frequency changes or where the interference is coming from. And that sort of thing. And I do that for the BBC, Radio Canada, in fact. And tied up with that is the band survey work, which we're doing. In fact, we spent from noon to 5 p.m. this afternoon our time doing a 90-meter band survey where we look at every frequency, identify every station, its language, the length of transmission, and its signal level. So you've got in front of you a really practical look of what the frequencies are, who's using what. The fringes aren't being used.
Well, why don't you say to Dr. Richard Wood and Dr. Bruce Elving, plus all the folks here in the studio.
Well, good morning to you folks there. There's too many to call out. I had your names all down entirely, but particularly to Stuart and Grant and Paul and our friend from the Voice of Hope, which of course we hear in New Zealand here from your Lebanon studios and transmitter site, have done for some time, and also to Richard over there in Hawaii. Greetings to you from down here. There's a few changes this way that we're interested to range. New Zealand is now identifying as national radio. So if anybody hears a station on shortwave that's calling himself national radio, it's Radio New Zealand with a new slogan.
Really? You're calling yourself national radio now, huh?
Yeah, the national radio.
The national radio. Are the shortwave transmitters still those 7.5 kilowatt transmitters?
Running this, yes, they're still running that. In fact, they've extended. They've got four bands of broadcasting each day. But on a Saturday, they started running a sporting service similar to Australia. Over in Australia, the big news is, of course, that there's 350 kilowatt shortwave transmitters being located right in the heart of Australia to serve the that very sparse area.
The so-called outback.
In the outbacks, and Alice Springs at the moment is testing on 2310 kilohertz, 0700-2230 UTC. It's 50 kilowatt, but it's got an array that it's more or less going to try and keep the signal tight to that area.
When I go home in the morning, I turn on the 31-meter band, and I listen to Perth, Australia on 9610.
Yeah, that's right, yes. They'll be through till 1600 UTC sign-off, which is midnight in Perth.
Let me add this, that in this era of superpower radio stations where you have a minimum of 100,000 watts, it seems like, then you have the 250 kilowatt transmitters, and now the super 500,000 watt transmitters. How does New Zealand get by with 7,500 watts worth?
Well, they still do. In fact, I was listening this afternoon, and I was quite there. 15150 was very good around 0200, and tonight 9600 I could hear around about 1000 UTC, which, of course, we don't hear them very much down here because only certain conditions. We're not in a favourable skip area for the reception of the Wellington transmitters, but we do hear them at times. But the big news today, I've been listening to KYOI, that's the commercial station in Saipan. They're appealing for people to join a sort of club at $10 a head and get a T-shirt there. You're running out of money. I don't think commercial shortwave radio is proving success in that part of the world.
Well, as you know, Mr. Norman and his NDXC Global Radio goes on the air July 4th. That's their target date, and they have high hopes.
Yes. Well, of course, they may in that area. Apparently, it's a problem of getting Japanese advertisers and people like that to to take it on, really. We have some fairly high-pad transmitters going into Papua New Guinea, too, which will make it easier for North Americans to hear that part of the world when they move their transmitting site. And of course, on medium wave, there's always two new Australian stations actually open this weekend. One in Coffs Harbour and one in Eyre, which is a peninsula in South Australia. Both 1 kilowatt.
Right. Arthur Cushion, for those who are listening and are saying, gee, I don't understand any of this, but I'm interested, what would you tell them to do?
Well, I would tell them, first of all, to if their radio isn't a digital readout radio and they've got an old shortwave radio with a dial on it, it means it's got 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, that's because of the congestion on the dial, that's thousands. So if you want to listen to the Voice of America at 1100, which is just in an hour's time, they broadcast to this part of the world, they're on 6110. Well, that's just a little bit above the figure 6 on your shortwave dial. And if you tune slowly there, you'll hear the VOA sign on and a program in English from the transmitters in the Philippines for listeners in Asia.
But what I'm getting at is that shortwave broadcasting is different in many ways. For instance, it's different in the sense that they change frequencies because of the time of day. They change frequencies because of the season. And you have to, if you want to hear the BBC in the daytime, you have to go to the higher bands, to the higher megahertz. To listen to the BBC at night, you go to the lower bands. So people have to understand that. It's a different type of broadcasting. And you have to go to specific times to hear a specific broadcaster, because some stations are only on for a half an hour or an hour or 50 minutes or whatever.
Yeah, and I think, of course, to remember that in the winter months, your reception is better during the hours of daylight, and in the summer months, it's better in the hours of darkness. And
as you say, that's another factor. And in fact, then, of course, the final thing, of course, is the ionosphere. And last weekend, we had a very severe disturbance that you couldn't hear very much at all. Not even Radio Australia was any good.
Is that right?
Something that's, you know, beyond the work of the broadcaster. But that's nature taking its part.
Yes. Arthur Cushion, thank you very much for being with us. And when you come to the United States, please stop by and we'll do a show. Let us know ahead of time when you'll be here.
Yes, thank you, Ray, and greetings to those folk in the studio and to your listeners across the States.
Thank you very much. Goodbye. Dr. Wood, you know, of course, Arthur Cushion. He's legendary.
Yes, I'd like to say aloha to him and also to the listeners in Hawaii who are getting the program over KGU. Just joined the network.
Indeed. Of course, Dr. Richard Wood is president of International Radio Club of America, and he's calling on the phone from Hilo, Hawaii. We'll take a break, and we'll be right back.
This is Radio Peking.
This is Radio Peking.
Well, they've changed their act. They now call themselves Radio Beijing, as you well know. So that dates that one. Dr. Wood...
Yes.
What do you think that the most important piece of information would be to a person who has decided they want to start tuning in the shortwave bands? What would you say is the most important thing they should know?
Most stations have an interval signal, and you can identify them by listening for that.
An interval signal. We better explain what that is.
That is a piece of music which is repeated several times. For example, Waltzing Matilda played on a music box by Radio Australia.
That's right. And they'll,
hear that?
Before the transmission starts, they'll play that for about 2 or 3 minutes.
Sometimes Radio Australia plays it for as long as an hour on a particular frequency, just maybe to keep that frequency open to make sure that nobody else will hog that frequency.
Is that right?
Then eventually they kept going with the program, yes.
Uh-huh.
Most stations have that. The Voice of America plays little portions of Yankee Doodle Dandy.
That's right.
Up and down.
Mm-hmm.
So occasionally, after the news, before the commentary, between the features, they play this.
That's right.
They have lengthy playings the way Radio Australia does, just a little bit every now and then. And therefore, regardless of language, you can identify the station.
All right, let's take a call here. Hello, Don. You're on Talk Radio with the gang.
Ray, I wish you were on in San Francisco. I'd like to talk to Bruce Alvey.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm sure, Bruce, I don't know if you recognize my voice or not. But,
Don Erickson?
No, but it's Don from Santa Clara.
Oh, okay.
California. And, you know, I've been sitting here for quite a while now listening to your program, and... of course, I'm very much interested in SCA. To me, I love shortwave, and I think it's quite interesting, but SCA is a whole completely different dimension that that nobody really knows about. And I just would kind of like you to explain maybe for a minute, Bruce, what SCA is, and to let people know exactly what they're dealing with here, because very little of it has been discussed.
Well, very good. I'm glad you asked that question, Don. It's an ingredient found in many FM station signals, just like stereo is. And
it's a subcarrier, is what it is.
Right. And because of a collusion of business and governmental interests, it's largely been denied to the home consumer. And I've been fighting kind of a political battle and making SCA available to people and publicizing its existence in my FM Atlas. And like Grant Manning, I run a mail order electronics business as well as a publishing enterprise. And I've been offering SCA devices, adapters and that sort of thing through my catalogs. And
yes. Also, I was wondering, Ray, would it be possible, Bruce and I are pretty close friends and he knows who I am, would it be possible for your producer or somebody to give me his home phone number where I could give him a call later on in the day?
Well, we'll put you on hold. How's that?
Okay. Also, is there any possible chance that you could ever get on in San Francisco? I mean, I know you're probably aware of the station in Clovis coming on the air. At nighttime now on 790, and it's almost impossible to get KABC out here anymore.
Well, I think that probably will change, too. I can't speak for the network, but I think that might change.
I enjoy your program. I remember when you used to be on in Sacramento, and that was the very first time I heard you interview Mr. Posner from Radio Moscow, and I've always found your program quite interesting, and I really miss it a lot, and I enjoy listening to it.
Well, hopefully sometime soon we'll have an affiliate in the Bay Area.
Okay, if I could have Bruce's number.
All right, I'll put you on hold here. Okay, do you want to take care of that? I have a... Do you have that information there, Barney? I guess he does. All right. We'll take a break. We'll be right back, and we'll be going to Hawaii for our next call. All right. Let's go back to the phones. Let's say hello to Hawaii. Good morning. Who is this? Ray Sweeney. All right. Good morning, Ray Sweeney. Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Oh, now we hear you. Good morning, Ray.
How are you?
I'm fine.
I was driving my car home from one side of our island to the other, and you were talking about shortwave radio, and then you were talking about KYOI, which is a station in which I have more than a little bit of interest, and I thought I'd have to find you, and I thought I might never do it because the telephones take a little time.
Yes, well, here you are, and thank you very much, Ray. Tell us about your station on Saipan.
The station was originally put together with the thought of putting a contemporary radio, music radio station into Japan. There are only about 52 radio stations all of Japan.
Wow.
Their population is about half of ours.
And many of them, or most of them, are owned by NHK, or affiliated with NHK.
Sort of, but... Yeah. Basically, they are working on the concept as many years ago we had in this country, doing all things for all people. And if you go into Tokyo, you can only hear about five stations. So.
By the way, I was in Tokyo in 1950, I think it was, when the first commercial radio station went on the air, JOKR.
Okay, well, there's been a couple since, but not like... not like our country.
No.
Going to Tokyo and the Kanto area, which is basically like the Los Angeles, Southern California area,
mm-hmm.
where you have how many stations? 70, 80?
About 85.
Okay. Well, you've got about five stations in that area around Tokyo.
Hmm.
And the radio there is a little bit of everything. A little bit for this, a little bit for that.
Mm-hmm.
And, we took a look at the concept and realized that if we brought something in on the American side, which was to do one job, and our thoughts were to bring in contemporary rock and roll, if you will, we call it super rock.
All right. What kind of power are you using?
You wouldn't really like this. It's about 7.5 million watts by the time it leaves the screen.
The effective radiated power, you must have a log periodic antenna.
I beg your pardon?
I say you must have a log periodic antenna.
Well, I don't know about a long periodic antenna.
Log periodic. Well, anyway, you have a great antenna gain.
By the time it shoots off the deal, it's, 7.5 million watts.
Yeah.
Saipan is about 1,000 miles from Japan. We cover all of Japan, and much of the rest of the world is, I guess you've learned from talking to other people.
So how has it been received in Japan?
It's been received very well from stem to stern, with the exception of the advertising community, who have a hard time dealing with it. You know, we're doing American-style radio, rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
It's the top 40 concept, okay? And all we're doing is trying to put an American presence into that area.
Are you getting a lot of listeners on the shortwave bands in Japan?
The best way we have to gauge on anything is the return we have from mail.
All right, what kind of mail do you get?
About 300-400 pieces of mail a week.
That's a lot of mail.
Not bad.
Not bad at all.
They would like to do as well.
Can't you take that into an advertiser and say, look,
I've done it. I have gone through Tokyo with a mm-hmm. number of advertising agencies. We have had an advertising group that has handled a lot of our work in Tokyo and in Osaka, and I've been there a number a lot of times myself. We spent, the last 3 years working on the project, and we have had a number of people that have worked well with us. It's one of those deals that you've all heard of the horrors of ratings.
Yes, we all have. Hold on a second. We're talking with Ray Sweeney, owner of a shortwave station on Saipan. I'm Ray Brain. This is Talk Radio 77, WABC. So there are those who are still great believers in commercial shortwave radio. H.D. Norman is one, president of NDXC Global Radio that goes on the air in Opelika, Alabama. We'll be speaking with him later this morning. That goes on hopefully July 4th of this next year. Do you think that he's going to be a success where apparently you have a mixed success?
I'm sorry, Ray, I missed part of what you were saying, but the man from Opelika has the same, he's trying to do the same thing we are doing. He's trying to reach out and do an American presence in other areas.
All right, what I'm saying is, do you think he will be more successful than your operation has been so far?
Well, our operation has been very successful. We have had the input we have had from listeners has been incredible.
I mean financially successful with sponsors.
Okay. Someone already apparently talked about the fact that we are looking for some financial input from a subscription type standpoint, and that's very correct. We have not done well in Japan. And the problem is, if I could suggest one of the problems we have, think in terms of what WTBS and all of the Turner Broadcasting concepts have done. They are major all around the country, but perhaps in Atlanta, they may not be a big deal. Well, perhaps in Tokyo, we're not as big a deal as we are all around the country. And measuring that is a little difficult. So we are seeing the kind of response from all of Japan and all around the world that Ted Turner is seeing, and we're trying to put that together and make that work.
Well, hopefully it's going to work for you, and I appreciate your checking in, Ray.
Thank you for your time, Ray. I know you have an awful lot of people through the ABC TalkNet, and I appreciate the time, and I appreciate KGU's time here, too, because they're a very fine station here.
Indeed they are. The pioneer radio station in the islands.
Well, I worked for them one time, and I work for another operation now, and aloha no.
Very good. Thank you. Aloha. Okay, Ray Sweeney, who has an interest in the shortwave station, the commercial shortwave station, beamed to Japan out of Saipan, and it's 1,000 miles from Hawaii, or from Japan. What if somebody put up a shortwave station, as has been talked about in the past, in Hawaii? You could hit 4 different continents. At one time, Billy Graham was going to put up a station. Whatever happened to that? Anybody know?
No. I think just the cost of things in Hawaii would just make it really hard.
Land
to do.
Values, electricity?
Land and electricity, mainly.
I see.
Really land.
Need lots of land for the antenna farm, there's no doubt about that.
I think land in California is bad.
All right, this is Talk Radio. I'm Ray Brain.
This is Radio Australia, the overseas service of the Australian Broadcasting Commission.
Well, there's one of the broadcasters you hear loud and clear in North America. All right, let's go to Chicago and say hello to Austin. Good morning, Austin.
Good morning, Ray. I do shortwave primarily, but boy, I really wish I was a medium wave DXer tonight. WABC is not doing real well in Chicago.
Oh, dear.
But I can catch some of the show sometimes. You guys were talking earlier about what a person should do in order, if they're getting interested in shortwave.
Yes.
How they should jump into the hobby.
What would you tell them to do?
Well, I would tell them to go out and join a national club, maybe North American Shortwave Association, and to go out and join a local club. You had somebody on earlier from SCADS that takes care of the Southern California area.
Well, we have Stuart McKenzie with us, too, president of the granddaddy of all the shortwave listeners clubs. That's the American Shortwave Listeners Club.
That's certainly true. That's a great organization also. As far as local clubs go, you've got SCADS, you've got Minnesota DX Club. And, of course, those of us at Chicago Area DX Club that handle people in Wisconsin, Indiana, and Illinois, you know, the national clubs, you'll get a lot of the hot information, and they have the resources to pull a lot of information together. And if you join a local club, you actually get to meet people who've been in the hobby, and you get to sit around, have a beer, eat some hamburgers with people who've been doing it for the past 15 or 20 years.
But what about what they're going to hear on shortwave? What are they going to hear besides a lot of static?
Besides a lot of static, they're going to get the local news from Perth in the morning that you guys were talking about.
Right.
You'll get Spanish language lessons from Spanish foreign radio. You'll get, as it happens, off of the CBC domestic network.
Japanese lessons.
Japanese lessons on Radio Japan.
Those are great.
That's certainly true.
By the way, hold on a second. Dr. Richard Wood.
Yes.
What about the changes that are going to be forthcoming from Radio Japan? I know that they're going to upgrade their service. What's in store for Japan?
Well, they're building a relay station in Panama. They've signed an agreement, and that should improve the reception in the Americas. They're gradually becoming like the Voice of America with a worldwide network of relays. Up to now, their programming has been rather stodgy, in my opinion, but they're improving.
So they are building a relay station in Panama.
That's right. It may be bogged down at the moment, but I think it will find it on the air. They have a relay in Gabon, in West Africa, and even so far away, it has improved reception on the East Coast.
You know, speaking of relays, when the French relay in Guyana went on the air, that provided Radio France International coverage to much of North America that was unable to hear Radio France before.
Precisely. That, I think it was significant that you added a recording of France this year, which you didn't have last year.
That's true.
Because France has become a power. It's become a listening spot, a regular listening spot for people who might not have listened to it before in North America.
That's right. Austin, anything you'd like to ask Dr. Richard Wood?
Yeah, while we're talking about Japan, one of our members is a monitor for Radio Japan, and he received a request to monitor Radio Canada International for Japan. Do you know any reason why they might have been asking that?
No, I don't really. I'm a former monitor for Radio Japan. They were very polite and very nice in sending me all kinds of gifts, but they never really took my advice on improving their reception and moving to better frequency.
Yeah. We've been speculating that maybe they're talking about relaying via Sackville temporarily.
Oh, that would be good, yes.
I certainly hope
really
they are.
Found something there. Please keep me informed. If you find anything on that, send it to the club bulletins. You're ahead of the news on that one. Perhaps.
Well, obviously, we try to keep ahead in DX Chicago, and it's been in there, and I'll make sure that Will Picard sends it off to the national clubs.
Austin, thank you very much for the call from Chicago.
One quick question.
Yes.
When you started the show tonight, you had one of the tapes was the West Can and Will Win.
Yeah, that was Radio Portugal.
That's what I thought it might have been. That goes back, God, how many years?
About 15 or 20.
That's what
before
I thought.
Before the revolution.
Before the revolution, that's right.
Okay, good night.
All right, goodbye. I was saying to, the people here in the studio, that's a classic tape. Because that's been long gone.
Yeah.
That was long before they had their revolution. All right, let's take another quick call here. We have, did I see Miguel? I don't know. Why don't I see Miguel flashing here? Okay, I don't know what's going on. But we'll take a break and then we'll be right back.
McCowan's with His and Hers, a weekly program, is broadcast by the Dutch Royal Broadcasting System, Radio Nederland, in Hilversum, Holland.
Well, that's changed, too. They now call it Radio Netherlands, and Radio Netherlands, and the Cowans haven't been on the air for a while, either.
Yeah, they've retired.
That's true. All right, we have another great name in the shortwave listening fraternity. His name is Glenn Hauser, publisher of Review of International Broadcasting and the DX Listener's Guide. He's calling from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. How's the weather, Glenn?
It's a bit
bit chilly here. It's getting almost down to 50.
Oh, for heaven's sake. We'll have to get a weather report from Dr. Richard Wood. Dr. Wood, what's the weather where you are?
Beautiful here. I've been enjoying beautiful weather for the last 4 or 5 months, and it's about 65 at the moment.
They got you beat there, Glenn. Glenn Hauser, you have been a shortwave listener for a long, long time. You published, I think, one of the very best news magazines, or bulletins, if you want to call it, the Review of International Broadcasting. When I want to know what's going on, I'll get a copy of the Review of International Broadcasting, because you have all kinds of meaty news in there. Tell us about yourself and about your organization.
Well, I've been listening to shortwave since about 1954, and editing in various capacities since then, first for a number of clubs, still for the North American Shortwave Association as well.
You also have a DX program that's heard on certain international shortwave stations.
Yes, that's World of Radio. I also contribute to some other programs.
Mm-hmm.
World of Radio is on WRNO, and now it's on KCBI in Dallas as well.
Okay, we have many people who don't know what shortwave is all about. What's your advice?
Purchase a small shortwave radio and get your feet wet. You can get a good shortwave radio for less than $100 now. And if you listen closely to some of these DX programs, you will hear all kinds of addresses where you can write for more information. And it's sort of like a pyramid. Once you get started, you'll find the information flooding in.
What new trends have you seen in shortwave listening and in shortwave broadcasting, Glenn?
Shortwave broadcasting, the proliferation of relay stations, I suppose. It's becoming more and more necessary to get any kind of signal in.
We've heard about the Radio Japan relay that's going on in Panama. What others are happening that you know of?
As far as relay stations?
Yes.
I'm afraid I'm not quite as optimistic as Dr. Wood about that. It certainly is bogged down at the moment, but maybe one of these years they'll have it. The Voice of America, of course, is expanding its relay network, and actually it's becoming a little harder to hear in some parts within the U.S. because they're relying more on relay stations overseas.
What about Radio France International? Is there a chance that they'll have a North American service?
They keep talking about it being in the future. It's very strange. They have this French Guiana relay, which, as you were saying earlier, comes in very well in North America, but officially they're not broadcasting.
You're broadcasting to Africa.
Via that facility. All they have to do is start saying they're doing it, and it will be official.
All right. Anything else that we ought to know about that's happening in the shortwave field?
Reception here has been very poor, so I'm afraid I don't know what's been going on. I've been trying to listen to WABC. Has anyone mentioned WHRI, World Harvest Radio?
No.
Well, that's a brand new U.S. shortwave station, which had just started testing a couple of nights ago. In fact, they're on the air right now. It's another evangelical station. It's in Indiana.
In Indiana? I understand there's something like 20 different applications pending at the FCC for new international shortwave stations based in this country.
I hadn't heard a number quite that great, but it's quite possible. The bandwagon effect seems to be working.
Why is there this new interest in shortwave, not as a listener, but as a broadcaster, putting on shortwave stations?
Well, I think being a fad is part of it. Of course, people hope to make money this way. A lot of people may not be aware of all the ins and outs of shortwave broadcasting and think, well, that's a good way to expand. They may have their AM stations and their FM stations, and there's nowhere to go beyond that. And of course, if they're evangelical interests, why, they don't really care about making money. It's just a way to get their message across to more and more people.
Well, Glenn, you certainly have done a lot of work promoting shortwave. Anything that you'd like to say regarding shortwave?
Well, I would like to make a small correction. The name of the new publication I put out is DX Listening Digest, not Guide.
Okay.
That could cause some confusion. And it's an information network depending on the people who subscribe to put the information in, and we'll get it out as soon as possible.
Very good. And you still continue with the Review of International Broadcasting?
Oh, yes. The emphasis in each is quite different. The DX Listening Digest has lots and lots of times and frequencies, the raw data you need to hear stations, and mm-hmm. the Review of International Broadcasting is more about programming and opinions about the programming.
Yeah, the news that I like very much. It's the only one of its kind, and you do a beautiful job on it.
Thank you.
Glenn, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
All right. That's Glenn Hauser, publisher of Review of International Broadcasting, and a correction, it's called DX Listening Digest. He's located in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. All right, let's take a call here from Phil in Sacramento, California. Hello, Phil.
Hello, good evening, Ray.
Good morning.
Good morning. I should say, actually, good morning.
It's only evening in Hawaii.
That's correct. I know that Dr. Wood is there. Dr. Wood, is Chuck Banky with you?
He's about 2 miles away from me. He's in Paradise Park where I am.
That's right.
So we're both in Paradise Park.
Okay, I was wondering if he was with you this evening. He's a great...
No, and it is the morning here in Hawaii, too, because it's after midnight.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, it's after midnight now.
After midnight.
Good.
It's after... That's fantastic. Well, I couldn't get through last year when you had the program, and I'm really, really glad I was able to get through this year. And I wanted to... thank you for having the program on. It is just fantastic. And KABC is coming in here pretty good tonight in Sacramento, but there's a station in Billings, Montana, KGHL, that's running a little, competition. You're running a little competition
yeah.
with them, but...
Well, hopefully we'll have an affiliate in Sacramento one of these first days again.
Yeah, and it's really too bad. It would be great if you did have one here locally. I wanted to bring up that a lot of people that are interested in getting into the hobby might consider joining a regional club. And a lot of times it's easier to get to the meetings and a lot of the information that they get in the bulletins that come out on the regional club is very, very easy. It makes it a lot easier because then you know that station is being heard in your area. And we have a regional club up here in the Sacramento area called the Capital DXers. We're pretty new, and I'd like to thank Paul Swearington for plugging us in the monitoring times.
Very good.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
All right, we have to leave you, Phil, and thanks for the call.
All right, fine.
All right,
thank
bye.
You very much.
All right, bye. Let's go to New York City and say hello to Mel. Good morning, Mel.
Good morning, Ray. I'd like to just take a few moments, if I could, to address a subject that you've been trying to pull out of almost everybody you've talked to this evening, which is, for the sake of those people who are not listening to shortwave now, why they ought to do it. Because I think that nobody's going to go out and even spend $100 for a radio or put up a 30-foot piece of wire unless they get some kind of feeling for what they're going to hear after they do all of that.
All right. Do you have some thoughts?
I certainly do. I think, first of all, people have to understand that we practice news in the United States the way we practice medicine, which is we practice crisis news, crisis medicine. We only fix people when they get sick, and we only report on news from the world when things go wrong there. As a result, we're kind of surprised when we get sick, and we're surprised when some part of the world gets sick. I think we're all traveling more. A lot of us are investing in companies and seeing our investments being challenged by world events, and they all come as kind of a surprise to us. And a lot of the people that are not surprised are listening to shortwave radio. I think that what we see here in the United States is basically the product of news that's rip and read by young people who are working at the lower levels of our news organizations who don't even know what the Tonnell separatists are. So as a result, how would they possibly know that some minor event that might be taking place in Sri Lanka might affect their lives here in the United States at some point?
Or getting some background information, say, from a program that the BBC has called The World Today.
Absolutely. World Today in 24 hours,
yes.
For example. I mean, I'm listening to you this morning on one of these little Sony 7600Ds, and I've got all of the available memories on the thing locked
mm-hmm.
for all of the BBCs at any given time of day, so I can tune into those programs from wherever they happen to be. And I really don't know a great deal about, which is a relay station or what. And I really...
You don't care.
Exactly.
You're there for content, and that's the important thing, because that you hear things say on the BBC you'll never hear anywhere else at any time.
And the same thing with Radio Netherlands, for example. They have a very liberal perspective, and I don't think that you could really understand what was happening, for example, on the whole cruise missile debate.